This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more details.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw and...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, it is holiday season here at Trek FM, and here on To The Journey, that can mean only one thing. It's Prixen season.
Prixen!
Yay! Suzanne, you are looking incredibly festive in your Prixen hat.
Why, thank you very much. I do like the little ball on the end.
It's very good.
So while most people are busy decking their halls this time of year, on Voyager, do you think they holodeck the halls?
Oh, holodeck the halls.
Hashtag holiday puns.
So as we were thinking of something fun we might do for this year's special Prixen episode of To The Journey, we thought it would be fun to put together our own versions of Prixen holiday wish list for the Voyager crew. And I actually really struggled with this. I had to resist the temptation to go totally stereotypical and reinforce all the Voyager stereotypes we talked about in our first episode of the new To The Journey a couple weeks ago.
I drew a complete blank coming up with most of the list for anybody other than standard, like, run-of-the-mill, what everybody knows, which I have written down for most of them.
How about you, Kay? Did you have an easy time coming up with your Prixen wish lists, or was this a challenge for you too?
Not to begin with, but then I started to think outside the box a little bit, and I came up with a few interesting ideas, so we'll see what everyone thinks about those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in and start comparing our Voyager crew Prixen lists. What we're going to do, we're going to start at the very top and start with Captain Janeway and work our way down. Each of us has a list of a few things that these crew members would want for Prixen. So let's start with Captain Janeway. And totally arbitrarily, I'm going to start with you, Kay. What is your first pick for Captain Janeway's Prixen list?
I think that although this is quite a sort of stereotypical Christmas gift that a lot of people get, for Janeway, I think it makes a lot of sense. So I've got bath bombs on here. And if she can get coffee-flavored bath bombs, I think that would be even better.
I don't think she should be eating them, though.
No, but she can just sort of soak in the coffee.
As a coffee-scented.
And the bubbles, yeah.
Like as a way of waking up in the morning, she's just going to, you know, sniff the coffee scent coming from
her
bath.
Does it have caffeine already infused in there, too?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, like that special caffeine soap you can buy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That stuff is awesome.
Okay, so that's good. That was not on my list, so that's incredibly awesome. Hey. We're off to a good start. So how about you, Suzanne? What's your first pick for Captain Janeway's Prixen list?
Well, she needs, and I mean really needs, a map of the Delta Quadrant. Because she can't keep relying on Neelix and his recollections of things. Because he's not good at that. He's led her into so many different directions that she probably shouldn't have gone in the first place.
And Captain Janeway really struggles with setting a true course for home. She's willing to take a detour or two.
Plus, you know, it's got all the interesting things on there if she does want to take a detour, which she inevitably will. I'm just wondering whether it's going to be an old-style pirate map.
Well, it depends on who gives it to her. If it's Chakotay, you know it's going to be the old-style, like, fold-out giant thing that you would keep in your glove box.
It's not like a hand-drawn Irish treasure map from Fairhaven?
No. Never.
Round the sides, it says, "Hey, Beeborg."
There be Borg here.
Yep.
Arg.
big cross on, like, you know, the transwarp hub. Go here. Okay, Zachary, what have you got on your Janeway list?
Okay, so I have a caveat for my first one. When we originally started thinking of these Voyager Prixen lists, we were going to try to restrict ourselves to season one. I totally failed and was totally unable to do that. So the first item on my list for Captain Janeway is an Irish setter puppy from Q.
Aww.
Janeway wants a new puppy.
Yeah, I had puppy on my list as well.
But then she has to deal with Q. And you know she doesn't want that.
Well, that has to wait until Valentine's Day.
Hey. No. What about Chakotay, man?
Chakotay could get her a puppy.
Yeah.
Just some random Delta Quadrant version of an Irish setter?
I'm sure they have them.
Well, maybe they have some kind of interesting Delta Quadrant dog species.
I guess she could have a holodeck Irish setter in Fairhaven, right?
Yeah.
Then she wouldn't have to clean up the poo.
Yep.
Well, the ship does clean itself. We learned that way back in The Next Generation.
Yes.
So what else do you guys have in your Prixen wish list for Captain Janeway?
So the next thing I wrote down was that she'd want the next episode in the series of her Gothic Hollow novel. Assuming that we saw the end of the previous one.
Do you think she'd hire Tom Paris to write it?
No.
The Doctor?
I'm not sure who she'd hire to write it. Would she trust any of them to write it for her?
Even Seska did some holodeck writing.
Yeah, we all know how well that ended.
I know, but that would be an interesting holodeck novel for her if Seska wrote it. I think I'd like to see that.
Seska writes Janeway a new episode of her Gothic Hollow novel. I love it. What do you have next on your list, Suzanne?
Well, I kind of went similar to you, but different. Time to relax away from her goofy Hollow novels. Because I couldn't stand that. I was like, okay, you're doing a Hollow novel that's a takeoff of Jane Eyre. And I was like, it's Jane Eyre, but you're not calling it Jane Eyre. It just irked me.
It's Janeway.
Janeway Eyre.
Oh, I never realized that. You're so right. Do you think they were trying
that's
to be
it,
a
right?
bit
it's Janeway
there?
Eyre.
Janeway Eyre. Well, it is the plot of Jane Eyre. This is why I always get confused when people go, what on earth was happening in that? And I'm like, well, read Jane Eyre and you can find out what was happening in it. Because It is the same. They just changed the names. But yeah, Janeway Eyre. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
So what else do you have, Zachary?
Well, this next one reinforces every Captain Janeway stereotype, a jumbo-sized coffee mug.
Jumbo coffee mug.
Yeah, for the bridge.
Yeah.
Free refills.
Definitely. When she opens her space Starbucks, right?
Exactly.
Well, the next thing that I had was, this was where my starting to think outside the box came. So I think that Janeway would ask for a pimp my phaser rifle.
Yeah, she bust that out in Macrocosm, right? That's
yes.
She used that in yeah.
Yeah, but a pimped version, you know, where it's all painted up and it's got "do it" written
lightning
outside
and
all that. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Flames.
See, now in my headcanon, in Macrocosm, she's using her Prixen gift for to fight the giant germs.
Yeah. Suzanne, you got anything else on yours?
More midnight sails on Lake George with Chakotay.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody needs more of those.
Every Tuesday?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Friday?
Pretty much every day you can. Can never get enough. What else do you have, Zachary?
So the last thing on my list for Captain Janeway is a little vague, but anything whittled by Commander Chakotay.
Like a sailboat.
Doesn't matter
to
what
take on
is.
Lake George.
A sailboat, a shuttlecraft, a bathtub.
A phaser rifle.
Phaser rifle.
Headboard.
Headboard, yep.
Yep.
Pocket watch.
A map of the Delta Quadrant.
Yep.
It's actually kind of fun to think all the props you see in Voyager were actually handmade by Chakotay.
Yes.
He was a very busy man.
The entire set was made by Chakotay.
He's actually the Irish puppy. He just keeps bringing Janeway presents.
So how about we move on to Chakotay? Zach, what have you got on your list for Chakotay?
Well, obviously he'd want some raw materials for whittling.
And some new blades. Sanding paper.
He needs some holodeck wood to whittle.
Could you whittle on the holodeck?
You can do so many other things on the holodeck. Why wouldn't you be able to whittle?
I'm just thinking, you know, you wouldn't be able to take the thing away with you and keep it.
Janeway paints in the holodeck.
She does, but obviously she doesn't get to keep her paintings. Unless she's taken all the painting materials in there, which I'm guessing she hasn't.
Or she could transfer it into the computer as a file and then have the replicator create it.
Yeah, that would be smart.
So obviously that one was a little tongue-in-cheek, but my next serious pick for Chakotay is an archaeological artifact. They're always drawing attention to the fact that Chakotay thinks of himself as an archaeologist, whether amateur or professional. He would want someone to give him some weird Delta Quadrant archaeological artifact.
I like that.
Yeah, that was the first thing I had on my list as well for Chakotay.
No, mine was sticking with season one Chakotay, someone to trust. Because he had Seska, you know, did her thing. Tuvok wasn't working for him. He had nobody.
Yeah. What's that line? You she was working for her. They were working for him. Was anyone on that ship working for me?
Exactly.
Well, Chakotay has his animal guide to trust.
But we don't know what the animal guide is.
Yeah. Not
so is it a
one.
Trustful animal? No. We don't know.
But that's what Chakotay would want. He would want a special visit from his animal guide.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. That was another item on my Chakotay list.
Would his animal guide be wearing a little Prixin hat?
With a fuzzy little ball.
If not, he would whittle it one.
He probably would. This is very true. Well, the next thing I had on my list was a books of poetry. Because we see later on that Janeway's lent Chakotay some poetry. Mm-hmm. Some Dante and stuff, so I'm guessing that he's quite interested in that, even though we don't really hear about it, but there's a nice little subtle hint there that he's into his poetry and his literature, so I think he'd like some of that. I think as well, if we're talking about season one in particular, he's had quite a long period of being in the Marquis, and he probably hasn't really had a lot of time to appreciate, you know, artistic things, so good opportunity for him to pick up those sort of interests.
Well, we do learn later that Chakotay's intelligence profile doesn't do him justice. He's pretty well read.
Yeah.
That is correct. Thank you, Shattered.
He is a smart cookie.
Well, something else I have on my list for Chakotay is mistletoe. Because I just think he needs a few sprigs to hang around the bridge and then and just sort of discreetly stand under them when the captain's passing by.
Or maybe hang, like, between his chair and Janeway's chair.
And then just sort of be leaning over the console. Catherine, could you look at this?
The strategic lean.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he'd probably get caught under there with Harry Kim walking by.
Or something like that, yeah.
See, now I'm kind of picturing this chain of mistletoe, because Chakotay, he's got some mistletoe hanging near Janeway's chair, and either B'Elanna Torres or Seska hangs a little mistletoe near Chakotay, and you can kind of picture this daisy chain of mistletoe around the ship.
Yes. Tom Paris is just walking around with a headband with some mistletoe hanging over the front of it.
Harry Kim has two strands, one for each Delaney sister.
Yep.
But they keep running whenever they see him. Does anyone else have anything for Chakotay?
So the last thing on my list for Chakotay, I have Maquis promotions. He wishes his Maquis crewmen would get some promotions on Voyager. Especially in season one.
Well, B'Elanna kind of did. Kind of. A little bit.
Kind
of. Well, they all outrank Harry, so, you know, we've got nothing to complain about.
Naomi outranks Harry.
I was going to say the ship's cap they don't even have outranks Harry.
Yeah, you can kind of run down the command chain. You've got captain, you've got first officer, you've got lieutenant commander, lieutenant. You get down to captain's assistant, and then Harry Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Captain's assistant, microbes that live inside the gel packs,
Harry Kim.
The cheese.
Yeah, the cheese.
The cheese ranks higher.
The cheese ranks higher.
Well, I had a couple more bits for Chakotay. I thought that he might want some boxing gloves. I know we don't see him box till later, but maybe if he'd got some boxing gloves in season one, we would have seen him boxing a bit earlier on. And the other thing I had was I thought if there was going to be anybody on the main crew who we'd see in a exciting Prixin holiday jumper, that would be Chakotay.
I would like that.
I think he could rock the holiday jumper, definitely. So, yeah, I've got holiday jumper on there. Anything else on your Chakotay list, Suzanne?
A couple extra shuttlecrafts. Just to replace the ones that he keeps crashing.
Yeah, because he can't whittle them fast enough, right?
No, he can't whittle them fast enough. The demand outweighs the supply.
Yeah.
Okay, so up next we have everyone's favorite stoic Vulcan, Tuvok. Zachary, what do you have for Tuvok this Prixin?
I actually had an easier time coming up with stuff for Tuvok. The first thing on my Tuvok Prixin wish list is the mobile version of Kalto to play on a pad or on slow days at his tactical station.
I had something dealing with Kalto too, but it was a proper Kalto opponent instead of Harry Kim.
On the holodeck or?
Anywhere.
Anyway.
He'll take what he can get.
I'm just worried that we're going to have this accidentally creating life on the holodeck thing again. I'm just envisioning this. We want a Kalto opponent that can beat Tuvok. We all know how well that ended on next year. Maybe they could just transfer Moriarty over.
That would be interesting. I'd like that.
He could play Tuvok at Kalto.
That was actually one of Captain Janeway's requests to make Michael Sullivan a little smarter. I want someone, make him so he can beat Tuvok at Kalto.
Suzanne's not got a happy face on.
That's because Michael Sullivan has been mentioned again.
Every time I mention Michael Sullivan, Suzanne shakes her head at me. You listeners out there don't see this, but I see it on my screen.
There's also a very stern face.
It's a reflex.
It is.
It's not even voluntary. The first thing that I had down for Tuvok was that he'd asked for a Vulcan lute, because we do learn that he plays the Vulcan lute and he doesn't have one, and we never see him play it, which is quite sad. So I think that would be
quite
cool if he got that.
Well, he's either going to find one on the black market or he's going to go over to Chakotay's quarters and say, Chakotay,
whittle me
everything else. Can you whittle me one of these?
Chakotay has quite the to-do whittle list going on.
Whittling queue.
I'm sorry, you're three down in the queue. You're going to have to wait.
Yeah. Please take a ticket.
Now serving number four.
The queue or the queue? This is actually what the queue continuum really is. It's not a separate place in space and time. The queue continuum is actually the list of things Chakotay has to whittle. The whittling queue.
It's not a road in the middle of nowhere.
Amazing. Yeah. I've just had this vision now of, like, you know, it's first thing in the morning on the bridge. Janeway's like, you know, looking at her pocket watch. She's like, where's Chakotay? Where is he? So he dashes in late.
Covered in dust and sawdust.
Janeway's like, where are the crew evaluations? And he's like, I had 8 things to whittle before breakfast.
He's got band-aids on his fingers from splinters.
Yep. Does anyone have anything else down for Tuvok?
Oh, I've got a bunch down for Tuvok, actually. Oh, cool. I have Tuvok would like a vintage copy of A Cave Beyond Logic, Vulcan Perspectives on Platonic Thought.
Ooh.
Huh? I got totally lost there.
I think we just got a little bit of podcast bleed there. Podcast bleed.
Podcast bleed. Oh, bleed over?
Yeah. Well, I think the rest of what I have for Tuvok is, well, kind of boring. Because I mean, Tuvok, whilst people might choose to buy him more interesting presents, I think if he was writing his own list, we all know that he's not so keen on parties, not so keen on celebrations, things like that. So I think he'd ask for quite normal things. So I've just gone with the whole socks, boxes, candles thing.
I had candles on my list. Tuvok would love candles, right? He meditates. Yeah. He needs candles.
He needs
this ongoing
candles.
Supply of candles.
But, you know, He gets through them. Especially over the holiday season when he's got to get away from it all. You know, he's going to be meditating like 19 hours a day or something.
To avoid Neelix's parties. See, now Chakotay's sitting there in the background going, "Yes, oh, Tuvok likes candles. I know what I'm going to get him next, Prixen. I'm going to get him some candle holders. I'm going to whittle him some candle holders.
Some sconces for the walls.
Accessories. Yes. It's all about the accessories. Yeah.
Ornamental sconces. I love it.
That's the key to a good Prixen present. Accessorize.
Absolutely. Yeah. So while we're talking about accessorizing, I was wondering actually. So when it comes to the traditional boxes as a present, do we think that Tuvok would be a, you know, boring, plain underwear kind of guy, or do you think he's secretly wearing, you know, something quite flamboyant under there? What do you think?
I would say it would depend upon the holiday.
Do you think Prixen is a flamboyant underwear holiday?
Prixen, I don't think would be
I'd
one.
I'd say it probably depends on whether it probably depends on whether Neelix gave him boxers the year before. Because okay. If Neelix picks out boxers for someone, they're going to be colorful.
But I think if Neelix gave them to him, he would immediately recycle them.
I don't know, though, would he? Would he make a show of that and saying that he would, but then secretly keep them and wear them?
Well, no, Neelix wouldn't know. Nobody would know. He would just take it back to his quarters and be like, "Here you go, Replicator. You can have these back."
I don't know. I think he might secretly wear them. Suzanne, have you got something more on your list for Tuvok?
The last one I have for my Tuvok list is just something that I think he would like. No more aliens taking over his body. Because that happens a bit too much for Tuvok. You know, likes to be in control. Why does this keep happening to him? Just bad luck, I guess.
Yes. Good one. That's a good one. Zachary, got any more on your list?
Well, you know how when we do our like Christmas lists, you always have those things that you tell other people, here's what I want. And then you have those secret deep down wish list items, things you wish someone would really give you, but you don't really tell anyone. With Vulcans, I always kind of wonder if it would be something like early onset Ponfar.
I don't think anybody wants that.
I don't know. 7 years is a long time.
But not when he's in the Delta Quadrant away from his wife.
And he's like painfully monogamous.
And to have to put up with the Tom Paris version of his wife, he didn't like that.
But seriously, I was thinking, you know, what would Tuvok, in season one, what would he really want? He would want Captain Janeway to come to her senses and make him first officer instead of Chakotay.
Yeah.
It's only logical.
True, actually.
No, but I don't see that as being logical. Because then the Maquis would be.
Well, that's the thing about Vulcan logic, though. Vulcan logic doesn't have to be actually logical. They just have to make it sound logical. They can be actually illogical, right? It's all, it's all in how you say it.
So your logic
it's more about Vulcan rhetoric
than Vulcan logic.
Is
irrelevant.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the quote again. It's logic. You can make logic say anything you want. That's its strength and its flaw, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so deep down he's harboring this resentment that he's not first officer, and he's going to try to make it sound as logical as he can. That's how Tuvok rolls.
Yeah, I think maybe at that stage. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what he did think about that, because obviously he spent some time with Chakotay, so he's probably got his own impressions of Chakotay that we don't... Yeah, be interesting to get inside season one Tuvok's head and find out what his impressions of Chakotay actually are. Well, I just have one more for Tuvok, which is a book of the hardest ever logic puzzles.
A logic book, yeah.
Yep.
I overlook the obvious. Says the guy who used to write homework for logic books. I totally overlook the obvious. So
you've blocked it out.
Epic fail. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he'd be looking for the challenge then. I think as well, you know, the crew would be looking to try and find him puzzles that he couldn't solve, and I think he'd still be able to do all of them. So. Any final ones for Tuvok, anyone, or have we covered them all?
No.
That's all I've got for Tuvok. Okay. So I guess we're on to B'Elanna Torres. What about you, Suzanne? What do you have for B'Elanna Torres?
Banana pancakes.
Yay!
I went obvious.
That's a great one.
I didn't think of that. Well
I didn't
done.
Think of that either. That's a good one.
Yep. Brilliant.
Nice job. Well done.
For her Prixen breakfast, banana pancakes. Nice. Well, the first thing I had on my list for B'Elanna was Meccano. I think that she'd ask for some Meccano because she's really into her engineering stuff. So I can see her in her quarters playing around with the Meccano.
Until she gets frustrated with it and throws it against the wall.
Well, yeah, obviously. But, I mean, that's the same with anything.
So I was kind of thinking that B'Elanna would want something she can punch in engineering without getting in trouble with Captain Janeway.
So not...
Or breaking Lieutenant Carey's nose, right?
Not Joe Carey. Something different.
Something other. Yeah, she wants a Joe Carey punching bag. Yeah.
A punching bag with his face on or one that's shaped like him?
Oh, no. Well, no, shaped like him. Absolutely. Okay. It should be the full deal.
The full deal. Okay.
Well, until like season 4, and then it would have to change to 7 of 9's face.
Yeah.
You're saying it. She wants a shape-shifting punching bag.
A shape-shifting punching bag. Yep. Everybody needs
one. Deep Space Nine, Voyager crossover. Yeah.
Yep. And then you were just thinking that they were safe from shapeshifters in the Delta Quadrant. Apparently not.
Never safe.
See, now I just have this vision of like some poor little person like Odo just having to be a punching bag, and that's not the greatest thing. I'm just like, oh, poor Odo, or, you know, whoever it is.
Yeah, that's it. He just moonlights as a punching bag. That's not his day job. That's his night job.
Wouldn't he have to be on call for that job?
You know, like in the Peanuts when Lucy has her little, you know, the psychiatrist is in. Mm-hmm. You know, he just has a little booth. The punching bag is in.
He must have some kind of meter as to B'Elanna's current stress level.
I'm needed in engineering.
Every time it starts going up into the red zone, it's like, quick, to switch it to available.
See, that's what everyone else wants and on the crew wants. They want the B'Elanna stressometer. They want to know where she's at. Yeah.
Well, they could just get B'Elanna more Klingon romances.
Klingon romance novels. Yes. I didn't think of that either.
Because you can never have too many of those.
I like your work, Suzanne. Well, the next thing I had was a stress ball. So we're all along the same lines.
Well, the next one on my list makes me a little sad. We know that B'Elanna really struggles with her Klingon heritage and, you know, throughout Voyager in various places. I was thinking she'd want, like, ridge reduction surgery. And that's a little sad.
That is.
That makes me almost cry.
I don't like that.
You made yourself sad.
It's a sad prickson on Voyager when B'Elanna has to get ridge reduction surgery to be happy.
Well, we went a different direction completely because you went there and I escalated. So I said I'd board with throwing knives. That was my next thing.
Nice to see we went.
Escalation, yeah. I chose escalation. Well, I did further escalate after that as well. And I put that she'd want a bow and arrow because I just had this vision that B'Elanna would have a Hunger Games holodeck program. She just strikes me as the kind of person that would play Hunger Games in the holodeck, so I have a bow and arrow down for her for that, because she'll need that. And then the last thing that I had was that actually, you know, there's a softer side under there as well, so I think that the final thing she'd want would be a blankie and some slippers, because she does like to, you know, go and snuggle up in the quarters after.
Would they be fuzzy bunny slippers?
Day of stress. Yeah. They would be like the cutest, fluffiest, most innocuous thing that you could possibly imagine.
I was thinking if B'Elanna has slippers, they would probably be slippers that Neelix gave her. They'd probably look like Talaxian fur flies. Talaxian fur fly slippers.
But would she ask for those? Or would she ask for fluffy Targ slippers?
Those would be cute.
Fluffy,
those would
fluffy
be so
targ,
cute.
Fluffy cute Targ slippers. Yeah.
Definitely. And then she'd have to wear them like one day in engineering when she got called in for an emergency.
Like, 3:30 in the morning or something. She's had to run down there and she's still wearing the fluffy Targ slippers. I love it. Maybe we'll even escalate this to the point of a Targ onesie.
I can just picture B'Elanna saying, you know, everyone's looking at her slippers. She goes, don't say it.
Yeah. They're comfortable.
Where's my punching bag?
Say a word and I'll punch you.
I'll tell my punching bag to turn into you and then I'll punch you.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. So shall we move on to the doc, guys? What have you got down for the doctor?
I have a real medical assistant. As in not Tom Paris. Why would you have your pilot being your medical assistant? He needs somebody that can help out.
Yeah, can't they just program a holographic medic if they can have a holographic doctor?
You would think so.
That's what I had down, a holographic assistant. That was on my list.
Get Tom Paris off the hook?
Yeah.
They could put Michael Sullivan to work doing something constructive.
He just gave everyone a shot of whiskey. That's his, that's his medic treatment.
That's the best kind of medicine.
I love it.
Okay, so my first pick for the doctor is replacement dirt samples, since people keep taking his dirt samples.
For the hydroponics bay, right?
Yeah, remember that episode?
Yeah.
What episode was that? I can't remember.
I forgot about that. I'm like, why are they taking his dirt? And why does he have dirt in the first place?
How much dirt do you need?
But in hydroponics, why do they need dirt anyway?
That is very true. I hadn't thought about that.
These are the questions I want answers to.
But if this is season one of the Doctor just wishes that someone would turn him off once in a while.
Exactly.
He wants an off button, maybe. Maybe he wants like a big red off switch.
He's a little envious of Data. He's envious of Data's off switch.
Yeah.
He's read the technical manuals. It's like, I need one of those.
Well, sticking with the season one Doctor, I would say hollow emitters ship-wide.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I had hollow emitters down on my list as well.
And we learn later in Voyager that the Doctor wants an upgraded medical tricorder, right? 709 gives him an upgrade to his tricorder. He wants an upgraded medical tricorder in season one.
So, on my list for the Doctor, I had, you can get a lot of those novelty make-your-own whatever thing it is kits that you get around holiday time, where you sort of you can make all these little items. I just think the Doctor strikes me as somebody who'd be quite into arts and crafts. So I just have this vision of like his little area where he's got all his little mini pom poms and he's making an owl or whatever.
Or is he making friendship bracelets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would he give them to?
I don't know.
Himself.
Kes, probably, in season one.
That's true. Could you see, like, tons of them just lined up on her arms?
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, but I see him doing little sort of arty, crafty things. But secretly. And then when everybody comes in, he's, like, pushing it under the desk or something. I wasn't. You know. Making whatever.
Well, we don't know exactly when this happened, but in the fourth season episode, Message in a Bottle, we learned that the Doctor made a tiny little addition to his program.
Well, not tiny.
The envy of holographic doctors everywhere. Including the Mark II. But in season one, the Doctor hadn't yet learned to tinker with his program, so he's got some holographic envy.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Looking for a database of subroutines you can add to your program. Oh, that one looks particularly interesting.
Hmm. He's just browsing through it like a catalog. He's got a catalog. Yeah,
no, it's not a catalog. It's more like an anatomy textbook, right? He's browsing, reading Grey's Anatomy. Oh yeah, subroutines.
Yeah. Well, the next thing I had down for the Doctor was that he won one of those really fancy folio editions of Pinocchio. Because, you know, he wants to be a real boy, so.
Does that make Janeway Geppetto?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Are you saying that actually the Doctor was whittled by Chakotay?
Set it up and knocked it down. What?
I'm thinking you guys are just doing this on purpose to me at this point, but
maybe.
Let's get another whittling joke in there.
Maybe.
That old chestnut.
Maybe, maybe not. Suzanne, what else do you have down for the Doc?
I have an old school karaoke machine.
Oh, nice.
For when people come into sick bay, he can do duets with them. But he only requests that 7 come in and do duets.
Well, yeah. And then Neelix comes in and he's like, oh, Doctor, let's do some karaoke. And Doctor's
like, machine's broken.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get B'Elanna to have a look at that. It's not working today.
So the only thing I've got left for the Doctor is, just like he wants to be turned off once in a while, he also wants to be included in staff meetings once in a while. That's on his wish list. He just wants to be part of the group.
Be careful what you wish for, Doctor.
Or at least that if he's there on the monitor, they can't mute him.
The mobile emitter is just a gleam in his eye in season one, so you can't invoke the mobile emitter yet.
Well, I had a couple more things. I put down that he'd want Operation, the game Operation.
How did we not think of that? You're so good at this, Kay. You're better at this than I am.
I have a beautiful picture of him playing that in my head. And just... Maybe even playing it with Tuvok, who I think will be brilliant at it, and then it just constantly going... him just getting really annoyed.
Yeah. Tuvok would be the Operation champ.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
See, and then the evil holographic Doctor from Equinox is singing, you know, the reticular nodes connected to the...
Yes. Brilliant. And and the final thing that I had was that I feel like he'd be the kind of person that would want a personalized mug, but obviously he couldn't actually have a personalized mug because he doesn't know what his name is. So he'd have a programmable personalized mug, which is like those badges that people have where their names scroll across. So every time he changes his mind about what his name's going to be, he can just change it to the other thing.
Oh, Schmollis.
Yeah.
So instead of a personalized mug, it's a depersonalized mug.
Yeah, and he can just switch it whenever he wants to switch it to say something else.
What do you think Tom Paris needs for Prixen? Zachary?
So I thought this one was easy. I thought Tom Paris would want a full pardon.
I did not think of that. That is good. That would make his dad happy.
Yeah. That trumps every other gift. If he can get a full pardon on Voyager, he's good to go.
And much more sensible than anything I put. Well, the first thing on my list was a chick flick and ice cream.
But does it have to be 3D?
You think Tom Paris is a chick flick kind of guy?
Yes, definitely. I think he loves a chick flick. Come on, he's a sensitive boy, really, isn't he?
I think of him more as a Captain Proton kind of guy, right? He doesn't go chick flick, he goes Captain Proton.
And the weird B sci-fi movies.
Yeah, but you know, he's got a lot of those already. And I think, it's Friday night. Boys' night in. invites Harry over. He invites Harry over to his quarters. They get the chick flick on. They've got one of those ginormous tubs of like cookie dough ice cream or something like that. And they've two spoons.
They watch Steel Magnolias.
Yeah. Or Bridget Jones's Diary or something like that.
I think Suzanne just wants to hear Kay say bromance again.
I do.
Nice British accent.
Bromance.
It's so lovely.
Bromantic comedy.
Bromantic comedy, definitely.
Well, I think Tom Paris needs more replicator rations. Because he's always trying to borrow some from somebody.
Definitely. Replicator rations is something I think he'd ask.
Or making bets for more rations.
So the other two things that came immediately to mind for Tom Paris for me are, season one, Tom Paris would like a date with Kes.
Yeah.
Maybe not later Tom Paris, but season one, definitely.
Is Neelix going to chaperone that date?
I don't see that ending well. Not unless further down his wish list was a spaghetti bath.
Isn't that on everybody's
list? I didn't have
list?
That on my list.
Spaghetti bath? I don't think so.
So the other thing I thought of with Tom Paris is permission to do a Voyager barrel roll. He just wants to go... Flyboy with Voyager. Free reign to drive like crazy.
I think I went a bit more sort of internal with my suggestions. So I put down that he'd want on the holodeck some sort of pod racing program with some like really sleek, impressive kind of shuttle pod type things that he could zoom around in.
So kind of Star Wars-ish?
That type of thing, maybe, yeah. Yeah, I think he'd be into that. I'd have his...
Like a... It's a season one, so we're talking like a proto-Delta Flyer.
Yeah. not got as far as anything like the Delta Flyer yet.
Well, I have one more thing for Tom, actually. I have a television set for Tom.
Yeah, because he doesn't have one yet.
Black and white or color?
Oh, Tom would go black and white. You know, he's a vintage kind of guy.
Yeah.
Of course, it would have to be an old-fashioned 1950s console TV set whittled by Chakotay.
Complete with bunny ears.
Exactly. Yes.
Chakotay is going to be very busy in the run-up to this Prixen. Very, very busy. I had down for Tom as well radio-controlled spaceships. Like, obviously, they probably wouldn't actually be radio-controlled, but that style, that he could race around the corridors.
Like little remote control cars that they used to sell like at Radio Shack, like the Voyager version of those?
Yeah, yeah. Little,
got it.
Little radio control spaceship type things, yeah.
But they fly, right? They don't roll on the court through the quarters.
Yeah, no, they fly.
Flying through the quarters, right?
Yeah.
Like the big bugs in Macrocosm.
Yep.
See him going around the corner, accidentally run right into Tuvok's forehead.
Yep. That sounds like something that would happen.
Yeah, that's how Captain Janeway gets her target practice in. She goes and gets her big gun that you saw in Macrocosm, takes their uniform top off, gets her tank top on, and goes to do target practice with Tom Paris's remote control spaceships.
But Captain, that was my favorite ship.
Yeah, I think he'd be a bit sad if she blew his ship up.
Inevitably, in Pathfinder, when Counselor Troi is on the show, she gets to drive Tom Paris's remote control ships and she crashes them.
Aww.
Don't let Counselor Troi drive.
You had to bring that up.
Ships.
Poor Deanna.
Don't let Counselor Troi drive even the toy spaceships.
See, like, technically that's not really her, because, you know, there's somebody at the helm. Surely it's actually their fault.
Yes. She just happened to be sitting there at the time.
Exactly. She just happened to be sitting there at the time. Well, the final thing that I have down for Tom is that I think that he'd be really into those old arcade machines, like Space Invaders.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, that type of thing. I think he'd be after having a few of those. Although maybe he'd have to have an arcade, a holodeck program of an old-style arcade, because he probably wouldn't have room for them in his quarters.
Or a pinball machine.
So rather than Super Mario Brothers, it's Super Delaney Sisters?
He could have the Voyager arcade game. I remember playing that.
The Voyager arcade game.
Oh,
was there really a Voyager arcade game?
There was, and it was one that you sat in, and Seven of Nine was plastered on the side.
I can see that. That is really cool. I didn't know that.
Well, now I want that for Prixen.
I'll put that on your list.
If any of you listeners out there have access to that, that's what I want for Prixen, the Voyager arcade game.
So, on to Kes then.
I actually had fun with Kes. The first thing on my list for Kes is seeds. She would like seeds.
Yes, she would.
Yeah.
Something new to grow down in hydroponics.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I actually had gardening tools down, so on a similar theme.
I think she might like a better hairdo. Bye-bye, pixie hairdo.
I was thinking a younger boyfriend.
But we don't know how old Neelix is, do we?
It's older than Kes, for sure.
Well, everyone's older than Kes. Even Naomi Wildman's only about 5 months younger than Kes.
Also on my list for Kes is an Elogium how-to manual.
Ew.
My first question is, did you have to remind us of that?
Well, that's where all the doctor's dirt went. She was eating it.
That is, yes, that makes sense. Oh, yuck.
Would you like any more dirt, Kes?
Yes, please. I would like some.
I was also thinking that Kes would like holographic medical school lessons and or a holographic autopsy experience.
Okay, I'm down with the. First one, but the second one was a bit.
No, you're.
I don't want to wrap
remember Kes saying I. You don't remember Kes saying it would be cool to see an autopsy sometime.
Yes, I do actually. Yeah, but as Suzanne said, how are you going to wrap that?
Well, it would have to be watertight, I guess. Right?
Well, I think I stayed fairly within the box for Cass. I said that she'd like sort of traditional type holiday sweets and treats because she just strikes me as somebody that would like getting candy canes and that type of thing.
I think you're right. I think Cass would really be all about holiday mirth and merriment. And
yeah.
It would be a generally cheerful thing for Cass. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a bit of an extension of that. I think that Cass would really like one of those build your own gingerbread houses. You guys get these in the States, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So yeah, I think she'd really like to kind of build the gingerbread little house, or maybe even a gingerbread voyager and decorate it and sort of do the whole Prixen thing there as well.
Pasting the little space gum drops on them.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, got it.
But would she then eat it after she was done?
I think she'd share it with everyone. She'd get the doctor to take a picture of it on his, on his holo camera. Has he got his holo imager. Camera at this point? His holo imager, yeah. And then she'd share it with everyone. Because she's nice like that. And then the final thing that I thought that Cass would like would be those... You know, you get those intricate colouring books that they've started coming out with now that have got really trendy where you sort of sit and...
The
really
books,
intricate
the
kind of adult
one.
Type
yeah.
colouring books.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'd like those. Because she just seems like the kind of person that would just be chilling out.
She'd need some coloured pencils to go with that.
Yeah, and some pens to go with it, or pencils. That was my list for Cass.
I keep coming up with stuff from later seasons, but I was thinking she might like a DVD of 20th century soap operas. You can get caught up. You can get lost in the drama, right?
Yeah.
Now, would it be Ryan's
she
Hope?
Like that.
It should be Ryan's Hope. That makes perfect sense.
Like, Captain Janeway, I think this is your ancestor.
She looks just like you. Brilliant.
How about Harry Kim? I'll start this one off. I think Harry Kim, at heart, just wants one more pip on his collar.
I had that too.
Yeah, I had that on my list as well.
This is the low-hanging Prixen fruit right here. So,
yeah.
A pip, it's on my list.
Sorry, Harry, never going to happen.
No. It's like your kiss is on my list, but your pip is on my list.
Well, I put down for Harry clarinet reeds.
Yeah.
Because you know he's got to be going through a lot of them.
See, for season one, Harry, I just put down a clarinet because I wasn't sure at what point he'd actually replicated it. Because we don't really see him play it until a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I
want to
say that
we?
Was season two, but I can't remember the episode.
No, I can't either. But I don't think we see him until a couple of seasons in actually playing it. So either that or he'd asked for... Maybe a new instrument, something else. Maybe he'd want to start a new instrument with his new start in the Delta Quadrant.
Like he did with the saxophone later. Trying to be all Will Riker and everything.
Yep.
I was thinking he'd want some clarinet sheet music of the Delta Quadrant's greatest hits.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe Neelix could help him out with that.
You know, Neelix has got a great music collection after all those years flying solo in that shuttle of his.
He must do. He must have some great playlists on there of Delta Quadrant, whoever's trendy in the Delta Quadrant.
Heck, he's morale officer. He's got a great playlist.
Well, he should have used that in his resort program because the music in there was not that great.
This is very similar to the just one more pip item, but I was thinking that Harry Kim just wants 5 minutes in the big chair.
Yeah.
He just wants his cup of coffee Janeway style in the big time.
And you know he also wants a girlfriend.
Oh yeah, either Delaney's sister. He's got them both on the list.
I think he'd take anybody.
Actually, if this is season one, Harry, he would just want a framed picture of Libby to put on his space desk.
Yeah, he would. Well, on that note, I had letter from home is what I had. Because I think that's all that Harry would really want. And also getting home.
Yeah.
Getting home would be top of Harry's list. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's any season.
No one wants to get home more than Harry.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about Prixen, we have to talk about Neelix, since Prixen, as we know, is a Talaxian holiday. What would be on Neelix's Prixen list?
Bubble bath. I mean, look, he enjoyed that bath so much. Just give him some Mr. Bubble every now and again. I think he'd be happy.
I think he wants one of those nifty Starfleet uniforms.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd like that. Yeah, he's definitely after getting into a Starfleet uniform a few times, isn't he? The first thing I put down for Neelix was, you know those, you get them on the shopping channels, you know those kind of kitchen slicer things that like you can do it a million different ways and things like that? I think he'd want one of those.
It slices, Space it prisoner. Dices, it yeah. Julianne's.
Yeah, I actually wrote down a JML million in one slicer, but I think JML's a brand we have in the UK, so you probably don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think we talk about, what do we talk about here? Cuisinarts?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Space Cuisinart.
Yeah. So I think he'd definitely love one of those.
A cookbook of 1,001 Leola root recipes?
Oh, but the crew does not want that.
Oh, he doesn't care. That doesn't stop Neelix.
See, I went a little bit more like he would care. So I put down that he'd ask for a cookbook with all the crew's favorite things in it.
So he can add spices yeah. to it.
And then he can, like, make it out of what he's got, and it'll taste nothing like the actual thing.
You'd be surprised what he can do with pureed Leola root.
Well, he just substitutes Leola root for every ingredient he doesn't have, doesn't he?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's the tofu of the Delta Quadrant.
I think he'd also want another lung, because we don't know how long Kes's lung is going to last in his body. I mean, her species only lives, what, 7 years? So he yeah. might need a new one in a few years.
So what you're saying is he needs a Vidian best friend to go crowdsource this for
him. Yes. Yes, he does. Or at least just one of those doohickeys that they point at people and steal their innards.
A free visit to Dr. Pell. She'll take care of it. This coupon is good for one free visit to Dr. Pell.
Well, the next thing that I had down for Neelix was that I thought that in the spirit of the holiday, he'd want some kind of Prixen-themed, all-singing, all-dancing, flashing, exciting cat. I definitely think that we'd see him there at the Prixen party with his ludicrous flashing headwear.
I can picture little Prixen lights coming out of his Talaxian suit.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like a walking disco.
And I could see B'Elanna trying to figure out a way to short the hat out to make it stop flashing.
And it would also play one of those really kind of annoying, high-pitched, plinky-plunky kind of songs.
Lots of bells and a xylophone.
Yeah, definitely.
So the last item on my list for Neelix, and this is in all seriousness, Neelix would want tactical lessons from Mr. Tuvok.
Mr. Vulcan.
Yeah.
Mr. Vulcan, excuse me. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
He's always trying to get some training.
That would be torture for poor Tuvok.
It would be. But I don't think Neelix really appreciates quite how much Tuvok is annoyed by him most of the time.
So I know we're doing Prixen wish list, but what do you think Tuvok would actually get Neelix if this were a real Prixen present? Not a wish list, but what would Tuvok really get Neelix?
A meditation lamp.
I was thinking something to do with meditation, yeah.
Something to calm him down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, Neelix, bring it down, buddy. Bring it down a notch.
Either that or sedatives.
He'd put the doctor on the case.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc.
Just give him something to, you know, take the edge off. Well, I had a few more little things down for Neelix. I put that he'd want novelty cookie cutters because I envisage him wanting to bake some exciting shapes with cookies.
What shape cookies do they make in the Delta Quadrant? Little fur fly cookies?
Kazon hairdo style.
Ooh.
Like an outline of a Kazon.
Coffee nebula shaped.
Yep. And also, you know, cutouts of all the various ships that they run into.
Little Borg cube sugar cookies.
Yeah. And then I also thought that he'd probably like a joke book.
Oh, Can you see Neelix telling bad jokes to everyone?
Yep.
Well, he's not taking lessons from us, I'll tell you that.
Hashtag holiday puns.
And finally, since we're talking season one of Voyager, we have to talk about Seska. So what would Seska want for Prixen in season one?
Oh, obviously the access code to Chakotay's quarters.
See, I was kind of thinking a Chakotay DNA cheek swab.
Doesn't she get one of those?
Yeah, but she has to order it from spaceancestry.com. Okay. It's a little cheek swab thing, you know.
It takes like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You got to wait till season two to get the results.
For Seska, I went kind of conventional because I think she's a high maintenance kind of girl. So I've got down that she would want diamonds and then she'd want expensive wine and expensive chocolate.
I could see that.
And she wants, I would think she wants expensive Bajoran jewelry, yeah. Like a Bajoran earring to keep the illusion up.
Yeah, like diamond encrusted or whatever kind of precious stones or metals are rare on Bajor.
She might also want something like a Kazon telephone book. Who can she contact?
Yeah. All the different Majes are listed. Oh, today I'll call Kala.
Alphabetically.
Who are you going to call? Maj Kala.
Well, along the vein of the Kazon phone book, I said she needs competent cronies because the Kazon is not it.
Yeah. So I think we've gone through our main list of season one characters now. Has anyone got any honorable mentions that they want to throw in there for anyone else that we see it from any season, really? I have a couple for Seven.
I've got a couple for Lieutenant Carey.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, for Seven, I thought that she'd really like... I don't know whether you guys have seen them, but they have them in IKEA, and they're like these packs of drawer dividers, but you can kind of customize them so you put all the divisions exactly where you want them so that you can kind of have all of the things perfectly fitting in all of the drawers. That just strikes me as a very Seven kind of thing. So I have that down for her. And the second thing that I had down for Seven was... I'm waving my little prop now. I will put a picture of this up on the Babel conference so that the listeners can see it, but a 12-sided Rubik's Cube, because I think that it looks a lot like an Omega molecule, so I think that the Seven would appreciate it.
It looks like a Borg, not a Borg cube, but a Borg dodecahedron or something.
It does look like a Borg dodecahedron.
I could totally see Icheb stealing that from her.
Yeah, and then solving it in about 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
What are your picks for Lieutenant Carey then, Zach?
So I have three, and these are a little ridiculous. But the first one is a hockey mask, or anything that will protect him from B'Elanna Torres in engineering. Just protect my darn nose. The second thing I've got for Lieutenant Carey is edible apples. Remember that episode when he's found all the apples, but they're all poisonous?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eat them. So he just wants an apple, darn it.
I heard it different. I heard Oedipal. And I'm like, what does Oedipus have to do with an apple?
An edible apple. That's deep, Suzanne.
That's very deep.
Multi-layered right there. And finally, the last thing I have for Lieutenant Carey, he wants the space phone number of that cute blonde ensign back in dry dock.
He's a married man.
Not from season one, but...
He is married.
With kids.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
He still thought 7 of 9 was nice to talk to and back in dry dock.
He needs some boxing lessons to go along with that hockey mask.
I think I'd have put ice packs.
Self-defense lessons. More lessons from Tuvok. Great.
So not only is Chakotay busy, Tuvok is also busy.
Well, I did come up with a few little bits for Naomi as well. I think that she would like Voyager action figures. I think she'd like to kind of have her own Voyager playset with action figures so that she could sort of reenact her own little...
She can literally play captain.
Yeah, she can be the captain and she gets to decide what everybody does. She can press Janeway and Chakotay together and make kissy noises.
I actually have them on my bookcase across the way, arms around each other.
Good girl. Well done. And the other thing that I had down was that she'd just want enough Nerf guns for everyone on the crew so that they could all run around the ship playing Nerf.
All but Tuvok.
No, I think Tuvok is a kind-hearted soul. Yeah. I think he would join in the fun, but it wouldn't make it look like he's having fun.
Or he'd protest at first. He'd protest at first, and then Neelix would guilt trip him into it.
He'd get in Vulcan mode, you know, if you insist.
Yeah.
Then he'd lob a couple of nerf shots
yeah.
down the corridor.
Yeah, and then he'd be like a really crack shot and just get everybody. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, you don't want to play space laser tag with Tuvok.
You'd lose. In a heartbeat, you'd lose.
Well, you guys, this has been a lot of fun talking about our Voyager Prixen wish list. But before we wrap up the show, we just wanted to take a couple of minutes and wish everyone out there a happy holidays from us here on To The Journey and from everyone at Trek FM.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone. And thanks for everything that you've all said about the show so far. It's been really nice to hear your feedback. And we're excited for everything we've got to bring you in 2017.
Definitely. Happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us and continuing to listen. We appreciate all of your feedback. It's been great. And it's been fun talking about Chakotay's to-do list for whittling for this Prixen. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you might have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
The crash of the bird of prey into San Francisco Harbor, you know. Look!
There
it's heading
are.
For the bridge!
Classic those are great shorthand. Scenes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't know what they're looking at or what's going on, but anyway.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
We had many Ferengis, and they were all quite different. Nog and Rom and Brunt and Quark and the Grand Nagus and Moogie. They all had very different voices, very different worldviews. They were all characters in their own right, but they all fit into that culture.
Saturday Morning Trek. When she did the psychic girl?
Yes.
Like, that one where I was just like, really, Nichelle? Yeah. Like, that is the direction that you want to go? Like,
they are putting a device in the warp control room. Oh, no!
Like, I was just, oh, man. But you could tell it was Nichelle. And I was laughing so hard at that. It was so much fun.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well.
Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats in our content development team, and many more. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We have some people that we'd like to thank. We want to say thank you to C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek FM, our executive producers, Charlene Schmidt, Matthew Rushing, and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and we also want to give a shout out to our great associate producers here on To The Journey, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Beliso, and Ju Kim.
And don't forget to check out Enterprise in Space, a project of the nonprofit National Space Society. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and to get your seat on the mission. And check out audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. Get a free audiobook of your choice. Visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
So if you think we've left something off of someone's Prixen list, let us know. You can contact us at trek.fm/contact. Leave us a voicemail. You'll look at the sidebar of the To The Journey show page on the Trek FM website, or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. You can also find us on Twitter at @trekfm, facebook.com/trekfm. You can find us on Facebook in the Babel Conference, type the Babel Conference into the search field. That's Babel, B-A-B-E-L. Or go to our website at trek.fm and click Discussion on the menu bar. We also invite you to leave a rating and review of To the Journey on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions for the show. Zachary, where can people find you on the interwebs if they want to talk about Chakotay's whittling to-do list?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. My handle there is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, and Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And I am also one half of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, which I host with my co-host there, Mike Morrison. And how about you, Kay? Where can people find you on the Trek FM network and around the interwebs these days?
Well, you can find me on some recent patrons roundtables. I had some fun on there doing some commentaries and things. And if you join Patreon, you'll be able to join us on there as well. I'm also quite often in the Babel Conference. And you can also find me on Twitter. My handle is Choco Weeble. Suzanne, where can we find you if people want to contact you and talk to you about anything we've said today?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is at KJaneWay8. That's the letter K, Janeway, and the number 8. And I also pop up every now and again on the Babel Conference.
Well, once again, we wish everyone out there a very happy Prixen and a very happy holidays from everyone at Trek FM. We'll be back next week with another episode, but until then, this has been To the Journey.